What do you do when somebody is trying to take you down? Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a boss. Maybe it's a fellow professing Christian. And in some way, maybe they're trying to destroy your reputation. Maybe they're trying to take you down in some other fashion. And what do you do when you face that situation? I'd like you to turn to Psalm number 57 tonight. And here we find David in a similar situation. He has a family member. You know, Saul was his father-in-law. A boss. A fellow, you know, professing Christian. In a sense, a co-worker. Was out to take him down. In fact, he was there to take him down because of the call of God upon David's life. And Saul saw that, you know, David was going to be the next leader, and he didn't want that to take place. And he was trying to take David down. Well, how did David respond in that situation? And, you know, you may be facing that type of a difficulty, maybe on a different level, maybe not to the extent that David was facing, but maybe in some way someone's seeking to destroy your life. How should you respond? Let's look at Psalm number 57. To the chief musician, Altasheth, Michham of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Now, there's some questions regarding, you know, those words, Altasheth, Michham of David, what their significance are. Altasheth there is the idea of destroy not. All right, it's here in Psalm 57, Psalm 58, Psalm 59, and also in Psalm number 75. All right, it has the idea of destroy not. It could be some reference to something with the music or the tune that was used for the psalm. Could have something to do with the subject matter here in the psalm. Michtam of David could refer here to the unique, you know, in my Bible talk for Michtam of David has a golden psalm. And there could be, you know, could have the idea of engraving something, a valuable psalm. Obviously, all of the scriptures are valuable. But in maybe this particular situation, there's great value when you find yourself. So there could be, you know, in reading maybe some different commentaries on that, there was, you know, it seemed like people weren't exactly sure what that was pointing to. But let's read through the psalm. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. And again, the title talks about when he fled from Saul in the cave. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above the earth. You know, when we find ourselves in this situation where someone is trying to take us down, whether it's spiritually, whether it's maybe in some physically, how should we respond? And there's four ways I'd like us to see that we should respond, and they all begin with C. All right, I'm just going to give you the four words, and then we'll look at them more in detail. First of all, we need to cry. All right, and we need to cry to God. Secondly, we need to confide. All right, we need to confide in God. Thirdly, we need to commit. And we need to commit to God. And fourthly, we need to communicate. All right, so let's look at these in a little more detail. First of all, we need to cry to God. Notice what he does in verse 1. He cries out to God. He says, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me." Notice the substance of his cry. He cry, asks for God to be merciful to him. All right, to bend, to be merciful here, to bend or to stoop in kindness to an inferior. You know, think about that. In this difficult situation that David finds himself in, he's not questioning God. He's not saying, you know, "God, why are you doing this?" There may be points to wonder why something is happening, but here in this situation, he's crying out for God's mercy, to bend or to stoop in kindness to an inferior. Notice this situation in which he is crying out to God. We see here in verse number 3, the situation, he says, "He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would" what? "That would swallow me up." All right, a swallow up is someone who is inhaling eagerly. You can see somebody is really after him. You think of Saul. You know, as he was after David, if you go to 1 Samuel, I think it might be chapter 24. But, you know, Saul had, the Philistines had come after David, I believe. And so had come after Saul. So Saul stopped pursuing after David. And as soon as the conflict with the Philistines was over, guess what Saul's doing? He's taking 3,000 men and going back after David. All right, what did he want? He wanted to swallow him up. Notice verse number 4. He says, "My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire." You know, think of fire, the destructive nature of fire. When fire, the flames of fire licking up, you know, the stubble or the fuel that is in that fire. Well, you get a fire going, a big fire, and you just think of the destructive nature of those flames. It just eats up what's there. And there's the picture that David's using of those that were seeking to destroy his life. "I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men." Now notice their mouths, "whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword." You know, notice the fierceness of the attack. They're you think of lions stalking, ready to pounce. You know, they're set on fire, the fire licking up its prey. You think of the destruction that the enemies of David, you think of here the king. You know, somebody who was supposed to be spiritual going after him. You know, Revelation 8 talks about the devil, and he refers to him as Apollyon, you know, the destroyer. And here these people ready to destroy. So you see the situation that he is in. If you look at later on in verse number 6, you can see like the organization. You know, this wasn't just something that just kind of popped out of the sky. Notice the organized attack. It says, "They have prepared a net for my steps." They were thinking, they were doing things to take him down. It wasn't just like something that just happened to take place. All right, there's preparation that's going into this destruction as Saul is seeking to bring down David. "They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down." I mean, this wasn't just an outward physical struggle that David was having. It was something that was affecting him deeply inside. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. So we see the situation that he is in as he cries out to God. But then notice his submission in his cry to God. We can see it, first of all, in his cry for mercy. He's not putting up himself, you know, on an equal plane with God. But he's crying out for mercy. But also notice his submission in verse number 2. He says, I will cry unto God Most High. Notice the plane that he elevates God to. I will cry unto God Most High. You know, many times when, maybe you've seen it before, when somebody's in a difficult situation, and where do they put God? They put God down. You know, why would God do something like this? They can't believe that. I mean, sometimes somebody can question God just wondering why it's happening, but other times people can question God in such a way like, how could God do something so bad? But here, David is elevating God. So we can see the submission, the humility that he has in this cry to God. So first of all, when you're going through this situation, what should you do? We need to cry out to God. There's many people many times we'll cry to, but here David is crying to God. But secondly, we see him confiding in God. First of all, confiding in God for protection. And in God's protection and in God's presence. He says in verse number 1, for my soul what trusteth in thee. Then he says, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. All right, so he's confiding in him for protection, in his presence, the shadow of thy wings. You know, notice there, you know, it says, until these calamities be overpassed. And I remember my dad pointing out a while ago in a message about how the devil always wants us to think that these trials are never going to end. Okay, but they're temporary. And he said here, until these calamities be overpassed. Satan wants us to get engulfed in the trials so that we don't think there's any end, so that we will give up. But God wants us to trust, to confide in him. So in verse number 2, we see how he confides in his power. He says, I will cry unto God Most High, notice here, unto God that what? That performeth all things for me. Notice the great confidence that he had in God's power. But then he also confided in God's perspective. Verse number 3. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. All right, so here, the reproach of him that would swallow me up. In a sense, you know, maybe these people are trying to defame David, bring down his reputation. But he was going to confide in God's perspective. It says here, God shall send forth his mercy and what? His truth. You know, people can try to bring you down. They can try to bring down your name. They can try to bring down your reputation. They can try to make you sound like you're standing for something terrible when you're actually standing for the truth. You know, we see that all in the media today. You know, anytime somebody stands for something righteous, there's some left-wing group that wants to try to bring that person down. You know, on a positive note, I heard or read an article recently about a man who's doing a Bible study with Vice President Pence, Betsy DeVos, Secretary of Education, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and I think there was one or two other people. Well, and they were, you know, somebody, I don't know, was not too happy with this man because this man actually believed that, you know, marriage, you know, was between a one man and one woman. This, you know, man did not, you know, believe homosexuality was wrong. This man believed that salvation was by faith. And so therefore, you know, the Catholics were wrong, and that salvation was by faith, you know, not by works. And, you know, there was some good things. Well, you know, the attacking him, You know, trying to bring this down, and to, boy, this isn't right that we have these, you know, high government officials as a part of a Bible study like this. And you know, when truth goes forth, when something's right, there's going to be an attack, the reproach. But here the psalmist, what does he say? Those that would swallow me up, the reproach of those that would swallow me up, but God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. And that's what we need to confide in when we face these situations. But thirdly, I'd like us to see how David committed himself to God. Notice verse number 5. We see him commit himself to God's glory. He says, "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens." He commits himself to, he says, "Let thy glory be above all the earth." In this trial, David wasn't wondering, am I going to be faithful to God? He was committed to the glory of God. This situation was ultimately not about David, but this situation was ultimately about God receiving glory. Notice in verse 7 how he was committed to God's praise. He says, "My heart is fixed." All right, he was erect. He was prepared. "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed." You know, sometimes we use the term somebody is fixated on something. It's like when we say somebody is fixated on something, what do we mean? They are set on doing it. All right, and what does he say here? "I will sing and give praise." Now think of it. David's here in a cave. I mean, that's a dark place, isn't it? It's not, you know, caves sometimes, I don't know if this was a damp cave, but you think of a damp, maybe a gloomy, kids, you think of caves and you think of, boy, the next place to explore. I mean, this is exciting, a cave. But why is he hiding out in a cave? You know, somebody's after his life. You know, he's not in a bright, sunshiny place. He's inside a cave, hiding from somebody who's seeking his life. But yet, what is he committed to? The praise of God. And then you go to the next verse, verse number 8, and we see his commitment in an even greater fashion. He says, "Awake up my glory, awake psaltery and harp, I myself will awake early." You know, he is anticipating, he is going to get up. He's going to spend time praising God. He's going to use, you know, "awake psaltery and harp." You know, even the strength that music can have as we worship God. I know this morning my wife was singing something, and I mean the song was like going through my mind like all day long. And you know, even that time in the morning, getting a song of praise to God in our minds that can go with us throughout the day. You know, do we wake up anticipating, boy, I want to praise God? Well, David was committed to praising God. And there was that anticipation of that. You read through Psalm 119. I can't remember exactly how it goes. But, you know, he talks about the night watches that he might meditate on God's word. Anticipating those times where maybe he would wake up in the night that he might meditate and think on God's word. He was committed. You know, the psalmist did not give in. David didn't give in to depression in this situation. No, he was committed to the praise of God. But then fourthly, his fourth response is communicate. Notice what he did. Verse number 9. "I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people." First of all, we see his private communication. In a sense, in verse number 8, he's going to wake up to praise the Lord. I guess, I mean, it could have been private, could have been public. But verse 9, he says, we definitely see public praise. "I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations." We see him communicating. You know, we get in that situation, you know, we don't need to clam up and do nothing. We need to communicate praise to God. Not only privately, not only in our own worship of God, but in the public worship of God. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. And then he gives the reason. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. And he said, ends with verse number 11, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. You know, maybe right now you're facing a situation where in some sense or some level somebody is seeking to bring you down. How can you respond? Four simple ways. You can cry to God. You can confide in God. You can commit yourself to God. And then you can communicate praise about God. What will your response be? You know, don't shrivel up, get depressed, stop communication, think that the world is stopping, but commit yourself to the God that performeth all things. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would help us. Lord, there may be, Lord, some tonight that are facing situations. Or, Lord, will face situations. Lord, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Lord, though for David it must have been difficult because this was someone familiar with him. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to respond in a way that would bring great honor and glory to your name when situations like this arise, Lord, so that you might get the victory rather than the devil getting his way. And Lord, we just pray that you would use your word in some way to help each one of us, Lord, to grow in our relationship with you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.